Okay, we are up to Perek Ches, Pasuk Chaf. Umin HaNesinim, so we are continuing middle of the Perek. We learned last week about Ezra, he was very disturbed when he made his ascent, when he was about to prepare to leave to Eretz Yisrael from Babel. Everyone gathered along the river of Ahava, and he discovered there were no Levim. And he was very disturbed because without Levim, he's not going to be able to serve in the base HaMikdash, even though there had to be, there were Levim already present. They were because the Mikdash already was, it's already been 4 years since it's been functional, 5 years. Since it's been operational, they were Kohanim. It even appears that for 25 years, from the time of the first Bekida, they were already offering Korbanos. So it had to be they were definitely Kohanim and Levim that were operating the Beis HaMikdash. But he wanted obviously a larger number, and he wanted a Levim to accompany him on his ascent. And he was very disturbed that there were no Levim, so he sent a group of people. We have here a list of 11 people that were sent to this very influential person called Ido. And we had a discussion, was Ido a Nesin, or was Ido just a leader of the city called Kosifia? Whatever it was, Ido was able, we learned last week, was able to collect 22 people. 20 Echav Uvnehem Esrim. That was the big accomplishment. 22 people, including the Ish Sechel. There was an Ish Sechel, B'nei Machli, B'levi, Yisrael, V'sheirevia, Uvana V'echav, Shemoyin, also 18. From one family, there was an Ish Sechel, and an additional 18 number of people. From another family, we have Chashavia, Yeshaya, B'nei Merari, V'echav, V'nehem, Eshim, a total of 20. Now we come to Pasuk Chaf, U'min Hanesinim. In addition to the Levim, he was able to gather from this city, Kosifia, people called Nesinim. They were from Givon, the Givonim, which Moshe, Yoshua, and David assigned to a specific task to be the water carriers and the woodcutters. And they lived together with the Levim in this city. Umin HaNesinim Shnasan David, that Nasan appointed, the Hasarim, and other officers. Now it's not clear, I don't know exactly what it means here, the Hasarim. Maybe if we study Rashi and Mitzvah more carefully, it appears that the word Hasarim is an interpretation of the Nesinim. The Nesinim were Sarim, were officers, were leaders. La'avodas ha'Levim, for the service of the Levim, Nesinim, the pasuk repeats itself. There's some repetition which I'm not really clear why, trying to figure out, I couldn't really get a grasp of why there's so much repetition. We have Min HaNesinim, Shenos and David, and the Hasarim, La'avodas ha'Levim, and there was a group of Sarim, princes, that were set aside for the service of the Levim, which seemingly means that these Nesinim, they were slaves, and they serviced the Levim. They were Nesinim. They were from this group of people called the Nesinim. How many in total were there? Mosayim v'esrim, 220 kulam. Every one of these people, nikvu v'shemos, was specified by name. In other words, they were distinguished people. They were well known. They weren't just the average person. Everyone knew exactly who these people were, these 220 people, and all of them agreed to make aliyah to accompany Ezra and the 1,500 people that were going to Eretz Yisrael. They also agreed to come. Okay, let's see Rashi Pasuk Chaf. Rashi Pasuk Chaf says, Umin HaNesinim, Umin HaAvodim. So Rashi here says, don't make any mistake and think that these Nesinim are full-fledged Jews. They're nothing more than slaves. Umin HaAvodim Nesinim, which have been designated, which have been assigned a specific task. Shenos and David HaMelech, V'sorei Yisrael Olu Imohem. And officers. So according to Rashi, Rashi makes it very clear when it says Sorim, Sorim is not referring to the Nesinim. It also refers to Sorim, Sorei Yisrael. Also went up together with the Levim. So we have Levim in the previous two Pesukim, the two different families of Levim, which was just a small amount, just 18 and 20. And now we have Nesinim, and we have in addition Sorei Yisrael, a grand total of 220. Let's see the Mitzvot Pasuk Chaf. La'avodas ha'Levim, B'dvar Melechas Beis Hashem, Nikvu B'Shemos, Misparshu B'Shemosam, everyone was specified by name. Rotzo Loimar, HaChashuvim V'Hayidu'im Shemohem, the ones that were Choshev and known among them. So the Rav Schwab, he takes note here that this is a very tragic record, because from the Levim, who were more chashav, more important, we only can collect two families, 18 and 22. Yet from the Nesinim, who were slaves, but it says also the Sarim, which are Yisraelim, there was a much larger group. It should have been... What? Exactly. It's a disgrace that there should have been more Levim than Nisinim and Sore Yisrael that accompanied Ezra to Aliyah, but that was not, that just didn't happen. It was not meant to be. Okay, now Pasuk Chof Aleph. After Ezra gathered, so now we have the final group. So it's approximately 1,700 people. Okay, a little bit less, 18 maybe, a little bit more, 1750, 1,000, approximately 1,750 people that are making Aliyah together with Israel. And again, the experts tell us that it appears there were millions of Jews living in Bavel at this point, or at least millions. And if not millions, then it has to be at least hundreds of thousands. That's the lowest number. And from hundreds of thousands, how many people are willing to make Aliyah? Just 1,750 people? It's pathetic. It's a very sad story. Ezra was extremely disappointed, and that's why we learned from last week why Ezra says he was mechazik. He strengthened himself. There was room for depression. He needed a shrink, but he was able to overcome his depression, even though there was a very small group that were willing to make this long trip.
The original goals, Bavel.
Yes.
How many went to Bavel?
We don't know exactly. The more than went to Golus Bavel were those who went to the Golus 200 years ago from the Aseres HaShvatim. That there were three waves of exile during the lifetime of Yeshaya. Then 125 years later was the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. And we don't know exactly. It's not, there are different accounts. A lot has been lost in history. We don't know. Was it were millions? How many died? What?
Wine says 1.1 million Jews. I don't know where the number from.
Where do you project from?
That's how many were killed.
Were killed. By Yisrishon.
1.1 million.
And how many were exiled?
Killed.
Were killed.
Doesn't say.
In other words, when you project, you have to have a starting point.
Yeah. Wrong. So there are different accounts. There are different accounts, but I'm not familiar. You have to check the history books. Yeah.
If we're saying that only 5% went up, so we have to start with 800,000.
We have to start with 800,000. Okay, could be. Okay. So you want to, if that was also just a number thrown out, Rab Schwab. I think of Shabbos Sefer Yeshaya, you mentioned that number. But is that an accurate account of there were only 800,000 Jews? Is that it? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. It's not clear. The further you go back in history, the less and less we know from secular sources. They didn't keep records. And the records that were kept by that were destroyed and were manipulated and were whitewashed. It's very difficult to get a real true account of even what happened. Let's talk about it in the 17th century. Even what happened in the 7th century in the massacres of Tach V'Tat. So how many people were killed? Ad Hayom Hazeh, there's a big debate, and the numbers go from 50,000 to a quarter of a million. And you can argue the whole day, all the numbers. And that's relatively speaking recent. It's not so long ago. And between 50,000, what?
The Times had an article.
Yeah.
Years back, that all the Ashkenazi Jews that are alive today came from 50,000 Jews.
Right. Less, 10,000. 10,000 Jews.
Well, they said in that article, it said from 50,000 Jews who lived in the 1500s, the DNA says that's all of us.
We're all related, like Rashi. Most of us were all related to Rashi. Rashi's family was from the few families that survived pogroms. So even like, you know, you're talking about Afghanistan. You showed me that article from the New York Times, from the Geniza. So they had this past week a very elaborate article in Ami magazine about the Geniza in Afghanistan, and trying to trace exactly how many Jews actually lived in Afghanistan when they came during the Persian Empire. And it even goes so far to say that many people want to claim that the Taliban are
the who?
The Taliban.
The Taliban.
They all have family names, Ben Joseph, Ben Abdullah, like that.
And they light candles Friday night. Some of them have traditional candles Friday night. Pesach, they take blood from the, they slaughter a sheep and they take the blood, they pour, they put it on the doorposts.
There's a tribe called Pushtuns.
Yes, the Pushtuns, yes.
But
everyone comes.
They have roots
the Taliban come from the Pushtuns. All of the people living in Afghanistan, they come from the Pushtuns. And the Pushtuns, some want to claim, really are from the Aseret HaShvatim. So we don't really know. All this has all been lost from us. And they have Minhagim, Arayim. Okay, so we don't really know, but all we learn over here is this is a very pathetic situation where only about 1,750 people are making Aliyah with Ezra. Ezra is very depressed. This was meant to be the time of Mashiach. Koresh, Yeshaya predicted that Koresh would bring in the era of Mashiach. And Koresh, first he says you can build the Beis HaMikdash, then he says he can't build the Beis HaMikdash. It takes 25 years until the Beis HaMikdash is complete, and now Ezra calls the Klal Yisrael, look, we have a Beis HaMikdash. What more do you possibly want? See, today you can say, listen, go to the state, you know, it's a secular state, there's no Beis HaMikdash, it's controlled, the Harabai is controlled by the Palestinians, this and that. In time of Ezra, you have a Beis HaMikdash. What are you waiting for? What more do you possibly want? The land is controlled. Ezra has in his hand a document which gives him full sweeping power and authority to do whatever he wants in Eretz Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash is already built. There are Nevi'im, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. So what more do you want? What are you waiting for? It's going to get better than this? It's not going to get better than this.
The interpretation could be economics. They were making a good living. They wanted to have to travel.
That's what many suggest. We learned last week.
Any type of migration, it's always the lower economic group that migrates.
It's very hard to understand. It's not going to get better than this. Autonomy, authority, power. The Mikdash is built. They're offering korbanos. There are Nevi'im. The Kalim of the Bayis Rishon were restored. It's not going to get better than this. And no one's interested in coming. Only 1,750 people. We learned Rav Shabbat. Only Yishav, he says this because the people were very religious. They were too religious. And they felt it had to be the Beis HaMikdash had to come out of the sky and come down. And if the government, the secular government of Daryavesh, is the one that's giving permission, is allowing this to happen, this is already... Exactly. And on the gate, on the front gate of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a symbol, an eagle, a sign from... was it an eagle? I don't remember exactly. I think it was an eagle, a sign of the Persian government, that Shar Shushan Habira, the gate of Shushan, that this Beis HaMikdash was sponsored and paid for by the king of Persia. So the Jewish people felt, it's a Goyish Beis HaMikdash. It's a secular Beis HaMikdash. We're not going to make Aliyah. It's very difficult for us to understand. Look, I listened to a shiur by Rabbi Stephen Przanski. He has a new series of shiurim now called Decisions, the Great Decisions. And one of his shiurim was people right during the time of World War II, right shortly before World War II, where they had the opportunity to flee, to go to Eretz Yisrael, to go to America, to go to all different countries. And the vast majority did not leave. And he tries to paint a picture, like in hindsight, we look back, why didn't they leave? Had they left, they would have survived. So he tries very hard in his shiur to paint a picture of what it was like before the war, their mindset, why the people who left were the Yechidim. It wasn't natural to leave. Adarabe, it would have been natural to stay, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to take time, but contemporary history.
Yes.
My mother, Michelle, was one of eight sisters, okay? Six came before the war, World War II. In other words, they came in the 30s. Two who were married and had children and who were established, they stayed and perished.
Okay, so everyone has a special story, and you can. It's hard for. In hindsight, we look back. If it had, the whole Klal Yisrael come, Mashiach would have come. But it's hard for us to judge them. Had we been in their place, they had in their mind other reasons, and it's not for us to judge. And they decided not to make Aliyah, not to come. A Jew belongs in Eretz Yisrael. We've only been away from Eretz Yisrael for 70 years. And no one's interested. No one's interested in coming back to Eretz Yisrael, even though everything is ready for them. The Mikdash is built, and they're in the Vim, but they decided not to come. But let's see further. So here now, Ezra is about to make his ascent. Now this pasuk coming out to some very fascinating pasukim, two pasukim which I personally feel is some of the most powerful mussar in the entire Tanakh for our generation. I'm preaching to the choir on one hand, and outside this room I'm talking to a wall. but let's see the pasukim. Ezra now declares, he calls here, he's by the river, he's about to make his aliyah. We have to remember, this is ancient times, there was no security, there were no planes, it was a very dangerous trip for 1,750 people to make between from Persia, from Bavel, this river, the river of Ahava, to Eretz Yisrael. They're taking with them enormous wealth. They have the kelim, some of the remaining kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. They have donations from Koresh and his seven advisors. They have donations from Goyim that were living in Paras. They have donations from the Jews that were stayed behind. They have enormous wealth, a very small number of people, relatively speaking. They're traveling through the Wild West. It's an extremely dangerous, uncivilized world. It's not like you go on a plane or you have armored cars, you have escorts, you have nothing. Just 1,700 Jews are traveling through a dangerous journey to Eretz Yisrael. So Ezra right away says, when we're going, Bo'egra Hashem, I called their tzom. I called for a fast. Al Hanahor Ahava, along the river of Ahava, Lehis Anos, to fast, Lefnei Elokeinu, for what purpose? So this is something very interesting. You can be mispalel for a tzara that you foresee in the future, even though the tzara is something which you're bringing upon yourself. If you don't want the tzara to happen, just stay home. Just stay home and don't go anywhere. You'll be safe. No, we have a mission. Hashem wants us to make aliyah, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, but in the process of doing so, we're going to encounter danger on the way. And we have to pray in advance that Hashem shall protect us from the dangers that lie on the way. By the way, this is the root of Tfilas HaDerech. This large-scale fasting that's taking place over here, Chazal read into it, and they look at the Tfilah, and they analyze exactly what Ezra did, and they replicate this in a very small way with our Nusach of Tfilas HaDerech, when we travel. So what did Ezra do? V'ekra Shom Tzom Momotam Al-Anor Ahavon L'sanos Tifnei Al-Keinu L'vakesh Menu to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu Derech Yishara, a straight path. That has a lot of connotations, the word Derech Yishara. Ulanu, for us, Ulita, payment for our children, Ulchol Richu, Shenu, for all of our property. Now, let's read the past, and we'll come back and explain some, discuss some of these ideas. Why was there a danger? Why couldn't Ezra ask Daryavesh to provide an army to protect the group of Jews that are making aliyah to Eretz Yisrael? Let him ask Daryavesh, please give us 1,000 soldiers to protect us. We're carrying over here billions of dollars worth of valuables. We need protection. So just because you have emuna, you have to do your hishtalus. It's a dangerous trip. So he says something here which is very deep. And it's a powerful, the more you think about it, the more powerful it is. Kivoishti, I was embarrassed. Lishol min hamelech, to ask from the king, chayim, an army, uforoshim, cavalry, horsemen, Le'ezreinu, to save us, me'oyev ba'adarech, from the enemies that lie lurking on the road. Ki amarnu la'melech le'ma, because amarnu, I said, or we said, it doesn't necessarily mean Ezra, but it was told to the king saying, Yad Elokeinu al kol mevak shav le'toiva, the hand of Hashem, remember that theme we discussed last week, the theme of the hand of Hashem is upon all of those that seek le'toiva, that seek Him for good. Anyone that is close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that wants to follow in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that wants to do good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects. V'uzo Hashem's might. In this context, it means His anger, His fury, His punishment. V'uzo v'apo, His might and His anger. Al az upon kol ozivav, all those that abandon Hashem. Therefore, since we are the nation that seeks His good, we are part of the category of those I'll call mivak shav litoiva. We seek Hashem for good. We don't need protection. Hashem protects us. The Yad Hashem is upon us. So we would be hypocrites
if we would ask.
Why was he ashamed to ask?
Because it would put God down.
Exactly, we will be hypocrites.
If the king would say, you don't trust your God.
Exactly, exactly.
God, he was afraid what the king is going to say.
If you really
him about his God, all of a sudden says, give me soldiers. Where's your God?
Where's your God? Why can't your God protect us? So we would be hypocrites if we would ask for his protection, because since it's told to the king that we are the Jewish people and we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Yachal, he can protect us. So it would be ashamed to say to the king that we're entitled to protection and an army and troops to protect us on the road. Now, unfortunately, this pasuk is a very powerful form of Musar for our generation. Unfortunately, we live in this country, and the big picture of things, there are a lot of programs, entitlements, whether it's Pell Grants, welfare, food stamps, or Section 8. And unfortunately, the Orthodox community are from the big takers.
Yeah.
That's the fact. That's the reality. And it should at least be a sense of kivoshnu. If we are the nation, we are our banner, we are the nation, the Am HaNivchan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we daven three times a day. Don't we think that we should have some siyata d'shmaya, where we should be self-sufficient and we should not be from the biggest takers, the biggest people who are part of the entitlement generation? We should be ashamed. That's exactly what Ezra is saying. Here we are, Ikvus to Mashiach, we're coming to Mashiach, the Am HaNivchar, we are the best, we are the chosen nation. No! We're not ashamed. We're not ashamed to be from the takers.
This generation.
This pasuk here is one of the most powerful psukim that I've come across. I don't know very little in Tanakh, but from the little that I've come across and studying, learning with you together, is a very powerful musar of where we should be holding. These powerful words. Kivoshnu, which we'll look at the words again, because why did I ask everyone to fast to prepare? I could have had the easy way out. There's an easy way out. Just say to Dayovish, you know, we're traveling, we have in our possession billions of dollars. You know, Israel asked the United States, Israel, they give $2 billion in foreign aid, at least $2 billion. Who paid for the Iron Dome? The United States. The United States. Who pays for all the tanks and all the planes?
That's not true.
What?
Only part.
It's a trade of technology.
Trade of technology? Okay, but now we're getting better. Years ago, it wasn't like that. Years
they
ago,
we developed the Iron Dome on their own. It's a private company.
But
Israeli government funded. Afterwards, they sold it to America, basically, for their knowledge.
Okay, all right, okay. But we do have this sense, this hypocrisy. If we are the chosen nation, why are we from the takers?
But that's still it. Over here, one could say that they were going to do a mitzvah.
Yeah.
And we know that the klal shaluch mitzvah ain't in his sovya. And like we mentioned before, that maybe the melech would even change his mind. Because you say, here I'm sending, you know, for your Hashem and everything else, and you yourselves don't trust them. So there are other chesed here. I'm saying I agree with you, but I don't know if it's a sushi though, really.
Everything that we do is l'shem mitzvah. Today, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not a mitzvah. That's the biggest mitzvah.
As far as the programs and all that that you were pointing out earlier.
If we daven three times a day, who in this country davens to Hashem three times a day? There's no one. There's no one like Klai Yisrael. Mika Amcha Yisrael. We're davening three times a day for Parnassah, for Refuah, for Kol Mili D'Meitav. We're Oisik in Torah Mitzvahs. And yet, unfortunately, the statistics are that we are for Klai Yisrael. I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about the statistics in Klai Yisrael by and large. And even go talk about Eretz Yisrael relative. Now, Baruch Hashem, they already had one of the people from the Knesset that told America, go take your money. We don't want your money anymore. We don't need your money anymore. The $2 billion you give us in foreign aid, we can do without. That was in the news recently. One of the members of the Knesset, said that Baruch Hashem, I didn't say Baruch Hashem, but the economy of Eretz Yisrael today is
why did Lapid get so many votes?
Yeah.
The middle class is suffering.
Yeah.
Is bad.
The middle class is suffering.
Don't forget the middle class doesn't send shluchim to every shul in America.
Okay, but it is there is definitely something to learn from these psukim. Kivoshti, I was ashamed. Lishol min hamelech, to ask from the king. Chayil, for an army. Ufaroshim, for horsemen. Leezreinu me oyev badarech, because this our whole religion tells us that if we rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what it's all about. We daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should have the siyata d'shmaya to be self-sufficient. Isn't this what we believe in? Isn't this what it's all about? Torah mitzvos? And yet, no, we'll take. And then we brainwash ourselves. That's all part of the religion. That's all part of the siyata d'shmaya that we should be from the biggest takers. That goes 100% against what it says here in this pasuk kivoshti.
The larger question is, the melech was so interested in giving them all the matan,
yes,
instructing everybody's whole kingdom to give. You would think on his own he would have offered to have.
So it goes to show that he was not sincere. This is the very common thing in life, where people are very kind to you, yeah, they're very good, and they'll give you all these benefits, but they don't give you the basics. They'll give you all the perks. Come, we want you to give you a position, right? So we'll give you a salary, but we're giving you everything. But I need a place to live, I need transportation. There are certain basic things. And the people who hire you for the job, they know this. But to the world, they want to show, look how good we are. We offer them a job with all of these benefits. But it's just a show. And to a certain degree, Daryoveh should have had enough seichel to realize, here they're going. If I really care about that the base Hamidah should be rebuilt, I should provide them with an army on my own. Ah, fend for yourselves. It goes to show a lack of sincerity. I'm giving you the authority, I'm giving you your kelim back. Here, we'll see if you'll make it there. Gesundheit, go. Good luck. Good luck, buddy. We'll see what happens, how long you'll survive. It's very telling. It's very telling. Ezra is in a very difficult position. Ezra now has to come and say, Dayavish, oh, you know, we need an army also. Oh, you want to be a schnorrer also? After I've given you all of this, you want to schnorr for me more? You want more, more, more? Where's your Rebbein Shalom? Why can't he take care of you? To a certain, and all of this, the key word in this pasuk is, I am ashamed. Kivoshti. Where is the shame? Today, the shame that doesn't exist. It's a generation of entitlements. I'm entitled. If you don't give me what I want, then you're out of office. Yeah.
Throwing my age around.
Go ahead.
In the Depression, the Jews, I'm sorry, ashamed.
Exactly. Exactly.
This generation,
there's no shame.
So much
it's
more.
A total different generation.
You're preaching to the choir.
My parents were married during the Depression. My father was unemployed. The story is my father went and pawned my mother's ring in order to have food. Ain't doing that now.
Exactly.
He made a compliment to you just from one line over here about, it says, the after shluchei mitzvah in Izokin, heichad yishriach ezeh kishayni.
Ashtadlus. You can't be Samech al Hanes.
Yeah, he says, even so,
it's very dangerous. You need an army.
He backed himself into a corner by making those pronouncements, so then he felt embarrassed.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
It was a couple of years ago, I think, in Israel, where the government programs, they cut programs
yeah.
in Israel for, and it impacted on the Haredi community. And I remember suddenly there became this pressured increase to ask people to contribute more wants and dollars to them. I remember traveling there. I don't know if it's been there. So, was that the right approach?
I don't know. It's very complicated. It's extremely complicated.
They should have been praying towards them.
No. You can't say that. When it comes to someone else, it's not a discussion for now. It's extremely complicated. Israeli politics and just talking in general terms. There is something to learn from this pasuk. Getting involved in very very big things. Just to focus on this one word, kivoshti. I was ashamed.
Let me split the pasuk into two ideas. In other words, one of the part of the pasuk ends with tova.
Yeah.
Uzov apo, I'll call.
Yeah, it is program. Yeah. The enemy.
Two separate things.
Hashem is right. This is it says Hashem. Hashem is good. The Yad Hashem is upon those that seek Him litova. Period. And the fury, the punishment, retribution, curse is upon those that want to harm Hashem's chosen nation or want to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, want to ignore His existence. What? Those who abandon Hashem. Okay, fine. But Ozvav in this context, it's interpreted to mean, in a general sense, those that completely abandon HaKadosh Baruch Hu and rebel against Him and cause harm to Klal Yisrael. So this is something which is very, very important. I think it's the most important pasuk in the whole Sefer Ezra. Especially for our generation to focus on Ezra, he's making Aliyah. He has a sense of busha. Busha, that we just can't take everything for granted what the government is doing for us. They're very good to us. They're letting us rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And there's a sense of shame, of boshes. And doesn't want in any way to take advantage to ask more of than what was given to him by the government. And as you mentioned, it's very good. What you mentioned is that it's very telling. It just goes to show where Dayavesh is holding. Because if you really care about a person, you provide for all of their needs. And sometimes the things that are more important are not the big things. Many times in life, what's really important to a person are the small little things, which you're not going to get credit. It's not going to be in the newspaper. But those are the things which let a person can live. And here, Dayavish, he couldn't care less about it. That wasn't his issue. I'm just giving you your kalim and money and donations, and you fend for yourself. Okay, let's see over here. Rashi's in pasuk chav al from chav beis. A lot of other significant points. Lisanois leishev betainis. Okay, this Rashi. I don't know why Rashi says. Rashi just seems to indicate this wasn't a minor tainis. This is serious business. Not like today we fast today a tainis. You know, unfortunately we fast today. We try to make believe it's not a tainis. It's a good to diet. Unfortunately, that's how many of us look at a tainis today. A tainis is a day you take off from work and you make a cheshbon hanefesh. And in addition to not eating, you don't talk enough, like the svardim, you don't talk the whole day. Leishev b'tainis, to sit in a tainis, this was the real deal.
The point of our show is that a tainis to
properly. Yeah.
Is to give tzedakah of all the money you save by not eating today.
Uh-huh.
So Marshall, come
on. Money you don't eat.
You want to show me?
You're not going to never.
It was shma. You want to spend $50 to eat? You got to give tzedakah. Otherwise, it's
What are you doing exactly? Not that you have a fancier meal the day that you don't. The day that you fast. So for dinner, then you go out to the restaurant and you have a steak. All right, so Leishev, that's Rashi, is very precise. Rashi doesn't say very much, but he says something here. Obviously, he's trying to hit home with something. Leishev Batainis, Derech Yishara, Sheyolichenu Hamokam Lishalom. Rashi here, also something very interesting. What does it mean, Derech Yishara? A straight path, that we should arrive there in peace. Sheyolichenu Hamokam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mokam, we should arrive there in peace. That's what it means, Derech Yishara. Ki Boyishti, when we come, when we go, we fly. So what do we think about it? We have a... She'alichenu l'shalom. That's part of the nusach. That's part of the nusach. We don't necessarily. Let's say there's a pit stop. Right, you have to go and you have to fly. It's not yashar. All of a sudden, the pilot announced, "We have to. There's a storm. We have to go stop here. We have to go here. We have to go there." It's not derech yashara. It can take many hours more than you normally plan. But if you arrive in peace, it's worth everything. I was ashamed from being from the king. I did not want to ask him for our tirena. I think it means touring, right? Our traveling. I did not want to ask him for a chariot and horsemen for our trip. For our trip to Eretz Yisrael, we already told the Yavish, Sheha Kadosh Baruch Hu Meitiv, Hashem is good, Limivu Koshav, to those that seek Him out. V'Shoifech Apo, Hashem pours His anger v'Chamosu Al Oiz, from those that abandon the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's read the Mitzudos Pasuk Chof Aleph V'Egra Rotzolaymar Gozarti Tainis Behachroza. V'Egra means I was Goizer. That's a halach in the laws of a tainis that you just can't wake up in the morning and decide to fast. That's only really true for a tainis yachid. But generally speaking, the ideal tainis is when the tainis is proclaimed in advance. If you wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm not hungry today, I'm just going to fast. I'll count. And Shemayim, I'll get credit. We're holding now the last week of Shevavim. This is the last parish of Mishpatim. So he's supposed to fast one day. The minig, general minig, is to fast one day of Shevavim, normally either Monday or Thursday. Different there, we discussed this, a different minhagim. Generally you fast Monday and Thursday, one day a week for 6 weeks. So if you wake up, today's Monday, oh, you know what, I'm not hungry today, so I might as well fast. That is not called a fast. That does not get credit. You have to plan in advance. You have to declare the day before. Now, for a tzibur, you don't. The fact that the tzibur is fasting, automatically, that is a proclamation. But there is such a concept. Part of the fast is the hachana for the fast. It's a different mindset. I'm entering into a tkufa where I'm not going to eat and do tshuva. I'm going to make a cheshvan hanefesh. It's very hard for us in this generation to really appreciate what a fast is all about. So the echo it's a loyma gozarti tainis behachroza al hanor ahava al hanor haboy lava. So here the Mitzudas is referring back to what we learned in the Parag Zion, that when it says hanor ahava, it's not the actual river, it's some small channel that comes out of the river, which flows into the river ahava. Derech yishara leleches bederech hashelo sasig lanu yad oyev veoyev, a path where we do not encounter enemies. Okay, but pasuk of beis ki bayishti ulazel lo shalach imanu. And that because I was embarrassed, I did not request that he send an army to protect us, and I was afraid that we may be attacked on our trip. And because it was told to him, and for this reason I did not ask Daryavish for an army and for a horseman, because if I would have asked, he would say, where are your words? It does not necessarily mean he would actually say it, but he would think it. You would say a bunch of hypocrites. You Jews, you're a bunch of hypocrites. You pray the whole day. You live a lifestyle which everything about your lifestyle says we believe in God. We have faith in God. He will protect us. He will guide us. And yet, you go and you want everything. You want more than the average person. You don't want to work. You don't want to make a living. It's a very big problem. And at least, the very least, there should be busha. There should not be a sense of entitlement. L'toiva, l'heitiv, lohem, Hashem is good to those that seek out Hashem for goodness. The uzo koyach nikmasu, Hashem will exact revenge from those that are abandoned HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, there's one more short point. It's a medrash, Eich Rabbah, and the medrash gives Ezra high praise for the order of items that he listed. He says, what was the tefillah about? Levakesh, going back to Pasuk Kaf Aleph, Levakesh menu derech yishara, for who? Lanu, the adults, ulet hapenu, the children, ulchol rechushenu, and for our possessions. The point is the possessions, the main point is the possessions come after your security. Some, we have the criticism by B'nai Gad, B'nai Ruvein, Chazi, Shev, and Menashe, they were more concerned for their property than they were for their family, for their children, for their own well-being. That is wrong. You come before your assets. And that, I'll read you the words of the Medrash. V'netzum v'nevakesh melukenu al zos mikan. No, that's a different medrash. I jumped ahead, but this is another medrash. It does not appear here in this my collection. But this is another medrash. Chazal are very, they give high praise that their priorities were in order. First yourself, then your children, and then you're mechuyev to be more concerned about yourself than your children. That's what Chazal appear to learn from this. Because if you're not going to be in order, then your children need you more than you need your children. And you have to be in order. You have to have a derech in life, have yishuv adas, so that you can guide and instruct your children. Then once you are secure, your children are secure, then you can worry about your property, your possessions, your assets, the car, the wagon, and the boat, and the bungalow. But first comes, and then the dog. First comes. In this country,
the dog
absolutely. In this country, the dog comes first. The dog is much more important than a person. So this is important. Another important thing is, okay, this is the Mishnah Chirab, that when you go Yitzhak, so every day in davening, we ask for multiple requests. There are 18, 19 brachas, 13, 14 middle brachas, so we have multiple requests. But when you are going there at Tzon, which is a special day to request something special, you only go there for one thing. There's no such thing. Look, we have a problem, Klal Yisrael. So, you know, let's have a Yom Tzom. Only goyzer Yom Tzom for Eretz Yisrael, Sakana from Iran, for a Parnassah crisis, for a Shidduch crisis, and for this crisis and that crisis. We'll be goyzer one Yom Tzom. We'll be coiled everything. You're not allowed to do that. Okay, when every so often, they don't, every so often in yeshiva, they do have such things when there's a problem, when there's a very big issue, primarily relating to Eretz Yisrael, Sakana, the goyzer are a tzoyim. You don't put in that tzoyim, oh, once we're having a tzoyim, we should also have kavana for this problem and that problem. There are a lot of people that are not well, and there's this issue and that issue. It's here, the Gemara in the Medrash and Eicha Rabba, Mikan She'ein Mis'anin Al Shnei Devarim Ke'echad. We learn from this pasuk that when you go, is there a special fast day, in addition and above to what you do every single day you're davening, it can only be for one item, not more than one item. D'chsev, k'd'chsev, like it says here in this pasuk, v'notzuma v'nevaksha melokenu al zos. Okay, that is the ikar. That's what it says here in this pasuk. Where is the word zos? Where is the word zos? Chosav gol gimel. Okay, that's the next pasuk. Okay, so that is the diuk on this. The word zos is extra to teach us that very important lesson. A yom tzom is only for one item. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk al gimel. Vanatsuma, we fasted. Vanevaksha me elokeinu al zos. And here the pasuk says, vaye oser lanu. Hashem answered our request in advance. Now, how did Ezra know that Hashem answered his request in advance? So there are many answers. One answer is because he was a Navi. Ezra was one of the Navim. Even though he's here in Sefer in Ksuvim, or he had Ruach HaKodesh, that's a discussion. We learned a few weeks ago that there's Chagai, Zachariah, Malachi. They were from the Navim, and many Mepharshim want to learn that Ezra was Malachi. So he was a Navi, so he knew that Hashem granted the request, and they would have safe passage. But all the Mepharshim say very simply, and we all know this to be true, you get a certain sense if Hashem has answered your prayer. When a person davens, if his mind is clear, and you can't attribute it to anything, every day is different. It's not because if you ate something, you didn't eat something, you woke up late, you woke up early. Sometimes when you daven, you get a certain sense that Hashem is listening. And sometimes not. The Gemara talks about one of the Amoraim or the Tanaim, when he was davening, if a tefillah struggled with fifth, he was certain Hashem will answer this prayer. If the tefillah was not shogeg b'fiv, then he knew there's a problem. And the poskim said that every person on their level, everyone is on a different level, you can't generalize. To a certain degree, if you apply yourself, you get a sense of where you're holding, if your tefillahs are being accepted to some degree, yes or no. And that's what we learn here from this pasuk, a very powerful lesson. Hashem answered. We got a sense that we would be okay, we would survive this very dangerous trip. Let's see Rashi, we'll stop. Pasuk of Gimel Chavdalet, Pasuk of Dimel Pasuk. Vayyoser lanu v'kibel tefiloseinu. Hashem was mekabel our prayer, shabanu liyushalayim l'shalom, that we would arrive in Yerushalayim in peace. He was mekabel our prayer, the mitzvah, Pasuk of Gimel. Al zos al derech yishara, that we should have a safe passage. Vayyoser lanu kibul asar tefiloseinu. Hashem accepted the asar, also means prayer. Another word for prayer, tefiloseinu. V'ulai b'nevuah nemar lo. So here the mitzudas learns very simply. He knew this to a dream, from prophecy. Oy b'chalom yidab, Hashem spoke to Ezra through a dream that the tefillah was accepted. Like I told you, the other mafarshim say, the other interpretation, that there's a certain sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mekabel your prayer. Okay, we'll stop here. Okay.